hotel. What an incredible, incredible atmosphere. Thank you, Apostle John. Thank you for trusting me in this place and with these people. I don't take it lightly. Whew, it's been an incredible morning already. And so much has already been said and shared. I was thinking last night as I was praying, I said, I think I got about 5 messages here. So we'll see which one God's going to pull out in a moment. Today I want to talk about 2021, our year of access, acceleration, and abundance. But before we can talk about access, acceleration, and abundance, we need to go back to our topic for the year, which is 2021, the year of hearing and obeying His voice. There has been this stirring in me for some time now, and it's if God has fired up this passion like never before, just for more of Him. And the cry of my heart is, I know there's more, I know there's more, I know there's more. And I want to admonish us today before I begin, first and foremost, to not be dull of hearing. One translation says, don't hear with an attitude of indifference. You see, we have some incredible times of worship in this place. And I know for me, and I'm sure for most of you, you have some incredible moments and encounters with God in the privacy of your own home. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we settle into that good. We settle into the comfortable good that we're used to. And we don't press and push for the more. So we have to be careful not to think, I've landed in a really good place with God. My relationship with Him is really good. I think I'll just settle in here. Because there's so much more. He is so vast. He is so great. He is so magnificent. What we think we know, we've only scratched the surface of who He is and what He desires to reveal of Himself to us. We can't settle in. It's sort of like Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on the mountain, and then He was transfigured right before them, and then there's Moses and Elijah's there, and Peter's like, oh man, this is so good. We should just stay right here. We can build 3 tabernacles, one for you, Jesus, one for Moses and Elijah, and just stay right here in this moment. But what Jesus knew, as good as that moment was, there was a better moment on the other side of the cross. We can't get so comfortable in this moment that we miss the next moment that God is calling us to. So let's push in together. And just like Paul said in Philippians, knowing that we haven't attained yet, He said, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal. I press toward the goal. I'm pressing. God has shown me some things, and I know there is so much more, and I'm pressing. I'm pressing. I don't want to be satisfied with where I am. I will not be satisfied with where I am. And for me to stay where I am means certain death. For you to stay where you are because it's good and it's comfortable and it's pleasant and you get all the warm fuzzies in the presence of God can cause a death. This life in the kingdom is about motion. It's about movement. It's about God revealing the more and the more and the more. I'm hungry for the more. Who's going to press with me? We are in a different season. things have changed. And we must be willing, the word is, hear and obey the voice of God, to know what he is speaking to us corporately and to know what he is speaking to us individually, and then respond in faith. We don't have the luxury of waiting to see. Some things, no matter how insignificant they may seem, are just not options in this season. We must hear and obey his voice. So allow me to take you on a little Hebrew lesson. If that's okay. It's okay. I got the mic, so you're going to go with me. And Exodus 19 is one of my favorite passages. God has miraculously and sovereignly brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. He's drowned Pharaoh's chariots and the horses and the army in the Red Sea. And he's brought them, by the time we get to chapter 19, to Mount Sinai. He's promised them that none of the diseases that were on the Egyptians shall be on them. He's healed them. He's led them to this place where he is going to betroth himself to them. So in chapter 19, starting with verse 3, it says, Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. I love that. I didn't bring you to this mountain. I'm going to take you to the promised land, but it's not even about the land that I promised Abraham. I brought you to myself. He is the ultimate destination. He's brought us to himself. And then he says, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Let's go back to verse 4. He says, if you will hear my voice. That word hear in the Hebrew is shema. It's about S-H-A-M-A, pronounced shema. And you know what shema means? You want to know what shema means? It says obey my voice here. Shema means to hear. To hear intelligently, give attention to, be attentive, obey. Obey and hear are used interchangeably. To hear implies obedience. To hear implies obedience. There's no separation. If I heard, I respond. Shema is listening, understanding, responding, and doing. So he's telling them, if you will hear my voice, I like that. It doesn't say my law. It doesn't say a book. But if you will hear my voice, which tells me we can all hear. He's speaking to the entire nation. I want to make you a kingdom of priests, not just a family of priests, not just a tribe. I want to make all y'all a holy nation and a kingdom of priests. But all I'm asking you to do is obey my voice. Hear and act. Shema. Let me give you some uses of Shema in the Old Testament. In Genesis 16, no child has been born to Abraham. Sarah goes to him with this wonderful idea. Why don't you just, sleep with Hagar, have a sire child through her, and we'll be done with this. And it says Abraham heard Sarah's words. What it means in that context is Abraham agreed. So when we hear, we enter into a place of agreement. Genesis 39, Joseph's working in Potiphar's house, and Mrs. Potiphar is after him. Day after day after day, the Bible says. And the Bible also says that Joseph did not hear her words. and what he heard what she was saying, but it means in that context, not to hear means to ignore. Now, I remember about 5 or 6 years ago, I'm minding my business, doing my thing, just singing a happy song and doing what I do, and I heard God speak to me. And I knew it was him because it wasn't anything I was praying about. I wasn't wishing upon a star for it. I wasn't even thinking about it. I didn't want to do anything else. I had a full plate. I didn't need another morsel, not a grape, not a raisin added to the plate. And he's asking me, and I use the term asking kind of loosely, to do something that I'd never dreamed of doing, that I didn't have a reference for. But I'd heard him. And when you hear him, you can't unhear. You can't unhear. You can try to flick it away like a gnat or a fly. You can act like you didn't hear, but you can't unhear. We're responsible for what we hear. You're accountable for what you hear. So every word that we've heard from this platform for years and years and years, to say since January, about hearing and obeying through Apostle John, through Pastor Jamal, through Prophet Nina, and others who have stood in this place. We are responsible for what we do and how we walk out that word. There's only two choices, obedience or disobedience. Now, obedience is costly. You have to sacrifice some things to walk in obedience to God, but it's not nearly as costly as disobedience. This is what we see with the children of Israel. After God spoke that, Moses goes back down, and this is what God said. If you will obey his voice, if you'll keep his covenant, then you're going to be this, his treasure. His people. All the earth is his, but he's chosen you to be his treasured possession. He's chosen us heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ to be his treasured possession. And it's contingent on hearing and obeying his voice. So when Moses brings that word, the children of Israel go, oh yeah, everything that the Lord says we're going to do. 3 days later, they are running from the presence of God and saying, oh, we don't want him talking to us. He wants to reveal himself to you in a very personal and very intimate way. Don't rationalize disobedience. I have a thing for coffee. Like, I could drink coffee all day. Literally all day. It's about 5 o'clock one day. I'm making my third, fourth, I don't know, cup of coffee. Getting ready to put the little pod in the Keurig. And I hear God say, suppose the shift you're looking for was contingent on whether you drank that cup of coffee or not. As insignificant as it might have sounded to me at that moment, it's just a cup of coffee. God's saying, don't drink another cup today. Or don't buy that, even though you can afford it. Don't buy that just because I said so. Or take that surprise check that you got and sow it into someone else's life. Now, and we can rationalize our disobedience in a minute. But it's just a, Pastor Nina knows, it's just a bracelet. If God can't trust us not to buy a bracelet or drink a cup of coffee, what else do you think he's going to release for us to handle? We must hear and obey. And I wanted to start there because As God is starting to open this understanding of access, acceleration, and abundance to me, I understand that the access that is available to us, we will not be able to access if we are not hearing and obeying him. And we will not be able to see the acceleration and the abundance that comes from accessing certain places if we're not hearing and obeying. So today I'm going to focus primarily on access, and then we'll see what Holy Spirit says from there. Turn with me in your Bibles. Does anybody have one? Get your electronic device out. Hallelujah. Somebody does actually have a real Bible. I mean, not that it's not real in your phone or on your iPad, but it works. To Revelation 3. I'm going to start with verse 7. And it reads, And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. No, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have little faith, little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. One of the things I continue to hear God saying, access granted. Access granted. Access, the ability, right, or permission to approach, enter, speak with, or use. The ability, the right, or permission to approach, enter, speak with, or use. Admittance, some synonyms, approach, connection, entry, open door, passage. We have been given access. The door to the kingdom of God, his kingdom dimension, has been opened for us. And all that is available in the kingdom. We've heard it over and over and over and over again. If you've been in heirs any amount of time, you know we have access to everything that is in the kingdom. So the question is, why aren't we accessing all that is already made available to us? Access granted. God is saying, I have unlocked the mysteries of the heavenly dimension, the mysteries of my kingdom to you. And the only thing that is keeping you out is your thinking. That verb, I have given, it is a little Greek lesson, perfect active indicative case, which means it's an action that was completed in the past but still has results in this moment, in the present. So the door was opened because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. The door was open. The heavens were open. Access was granted at that time. And guess what, y'all? The doors ain't closing. They're not closing. Now, whether we access what's available to us is contingent on changing our mindset. It's like God is saying, wow, a wide open door into my realm. I want you to come up where I am so I can show you some things you've never seen before. Last Sunday, God led us into this wonderful place and he began singing over us, come. And in the moment, I didn't fully understand come. And then when I started studying a little bit more, I understood he's saying, I saw, and I'm not given to visions, but I was cutting an onion the other day, making a salad, chopping up my onion, and I saw all these doors, ascending doors, progressively going higher and higher. All the doors were open, and some people were just going through one door, up the next to the next door, through that door, and up to the next door, and then others were just standing at the threshold. Doors open, but they're just standing there. And God is saying, your mindset will keep you out. You see, w- when we have an old mindset. I grew up in church, grew up in a Baptist church. Love my Baptist church. Everything I learned about God, I learned, well, up until 1987, I learned in my little Baptist church. And so that shaped how I saw God. It shaped how I saw myself. It shaped how I walked out my salvation. 1987, go to New York, get filled with Holy Spirit, come back, everything's shifted, everything's changed. And God says to me in that moment, I need to change your thinking if you're going to move forward. And it challenged everything I was taught. Now, that's not to say that what I was taught was wrong. Well, some of it was, but it is to say it wasn't complete. And until I was willing to let go of some of the things that had been ingrained in me from a child being in that environment, to allow God to show me something different, I was gonna be here in 2021, probably not standing before you, because I'd be having a Baptist mindset. Nothing against Baptist or Methodist mindset or Pentecostal mindset or any mindset that has added some stuff and interpreted what God says in a way that still makes it about performance and doing and not being. And that's what it is. We can't see ourselves as we are. God wants to show you himself in his fullest glory. And he kept saying, you got to keep coming. But the thing about changing your mind or repentance, the Greek word is metanoia, which literally means the change of thinking. It literally means to come to one's senses or to come into one's right mind. So the thinking that I had until I came to Christ is not me being in my right mind. Pastor Jamal talked for the last couple of weeks about us having the mind of Christ. He was in Isaiah 55, where God says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. But right before that, it says, let the wicked forsake his ways. And I'm not calling you wicked, but that word just means twisted. Twisted thinking results in twisted behavior. So you not forsake your ways and let the unrighteous forsake his thoughts. Why? Because my ways and my thoughts are not your ways and your thoughts. So forsake yours to take on mine. It's not a one-time event. It's not, I'm sorry for what I did. God, please forgive me. Every time I open the Word of God, I expect God to show me something that I've not seen before that is going to cause me to have to shift how I think, how I see Him, and how I see myself, and how I see His kingdom, and how I see this world. And every time He opens His Word to me, I gotta make an adjustment in my thinking every time. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how much you think you know about the word. Every time we come in here and hear the unadulterated word of God, we got to shift in our thinking if we're going to access what has been promised to us. Step through the door, your thinking starts to change. See, you're thinking one way. Before you came to Christ, thinking one way, had some beliefs, made decisions based on how you thought. And now new information is presented to you, or more complete information is presented to you. And now you got to make a shift and a change based on what you now know. Every time God reveals another aspect of his nature or his heart. Every time he speaks prophetically to us. Every time Apostle John, Pastor Jamal, whomever is standing up here and he's speaking the preceding word of God, we have opportunity to repent. If I'm going to step through this door and up to the next door, every time I go through a door, I got to repent. I've got to constantly adjust how I'm thinking so I am in alignment with God, what God is saying. Your thinking will keep you stuck. You can come Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday. You can Zoom in with me on Thursday. And if your thinking doesn't change, nothing else changes. Your thinking determines your behavior. Life in the kingdom's not about behavior modification. And a lot of us grew up in church cultures where it was about just stop doing stuff and you'll be all right. But we do the stuff we do because of the way we think. So until we posture ourselves to say, every time I'm in your presence, God, every time you speak, every time I open up the word and you show me different things that I haven't seen before, you take me deeper in something that I've read before, and then I begin to see, oh man, is that what you really meant? And then I gotta adjust to what you're showing me and what you're speaking to me. We've got to be willing. It's an ongoing process. An ongoing process. It's almost as if I'm calling you up here. You have access. Your thinking will determine whether you step through the door or not. I remember not long after I left my little Baptist church and God started inviting me into these new places. And I get it. The higher, the deeper you go, it gets a little scary. I had moments when I thought, am I losing my mind? Is this really God speaking? And I don't, you want to back up because you're losing your equilibrium and you feel like everything in you is about to disintegrate because this is a totally new place and a totally new atmosphere. And yet, God is drawing. There was a point where I got a little scared and I stopped. Y'all probably more spiritual than I, but I stopped because it was scary and I had a history and an experience that made me think, if God is showing me things and I've never seen this before and I've never heard this before and the people that I'm around are not teaching this, then maybe I'm off. That's the enemy whispering because we can recognize the voice of God. So I'd rather have listened to what other people were saying and think I was right rather than to listen to what God was saying and to step into a new level of truth. So I stopped for a minute, but it was the most agonizing period of time. I'm like, I can't stay here. I cannot. I will die if I don't move from this place. And I made the decision, if I get out the boat and I don't walk on water, I will not drown because I will be swimming in an ocean of God's love and his grace and his revelation. I cannot drown, but I cannot stay in the boat. Access has been granted, and I'm about finished. This is what God is saying. New cycles, new beginnings. Open doors. Realize that everything that has happened to you in your life up to this point and the work that you have allowed the Holy Spirit to do in you has prepared you to step fully into this new place, into this new dimension, into these new realms. Access has been granted. You have embraced God's word and his promises. You have postured yourself to hear his voice, to obey him by faith. You are better prepared now than you have ever been for what he has prepared for you. Now simply step through the doors. Access the more. Access has been granted. Yes, we see the promise of open doors. No, they are in fact open. No one will shut them. Jesus is holding them actively open, and he bids you to step through the door. He's saying, understanding and wisdom, the doors of new dimensions in his love and his light and his grace and his presence, access granted, doors to advance his kingdom in your sphere of influence, doors of evangelism, doors to minister hope to others, doors to encounter, to divine encounters, doors to healing on every level, doors of opportunity, doors that lead to restoration of all things lost, doors to greater release of his power, doors to realization of dreams that seemed to have been put on hold for years and years and years? Could it be that that thing that you've been believing God to do for years and years is contingent on you just shifting your thinking? He's saying, step boldly through open doors, knowing that you are not alone. Holy Spirit has gone before you. He goes with you because he is in you. He is your teacher who brings all things to remembrance. He is your guide. He is your helper. Step boldly through the open doors, knowing that Christ has become for us the wisdom of God. He is our righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Step boldly through the door. Know that through Christ you can do all things, and with God all things are possible. Step boldly through the open doors, listening to his instruction. He's already guaranteed success. He's already guaranteed victory. He's already guaranteed advancement, the salvation, the healing, the success and victory and prosperity for others may be contingent on you stepping through those open doors. Step in with a heart of gratitude for all God has done. Step in knowing he has granted you full access. Change your thinking. Step through the doors. And as I was reading in Revelation 3, I just believe God was saying this to us as heirs. Behold, heirs, I know your works. I am fully aware of your efforts in doing the work of the ministry. And I want you to see something. I've given you a doorway right in front of you that has been fully opened into a new dimension. It's in full effect. Nothing and no one can possibly close it. Even though it seems you've had very little strength in terms of numbers, know that you have I know that you have treasured my word, both written and prophetic. You have stood on faith on all that I have spoken. You have not denied my name. You have persevered when it seemed everything was against you, knowing that I am for you and I am with you. Come all the way through the door. And as you come up and through, up and through, up and through, up and through, you enter into greater seasons of accelerated growth and harvest that will astound you. Prepare for abundance. And then the last passage I want to read, and I'm kind of stepping into acceleration, but this is for the house. Amos 9 from the Message, starting in verse 13. And it says, yes, indeed, it won't be long now, God's decree. Things are going to happen so fast your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of the other. You won't be able to keep up. Everything will happen at once, and everywhere you look, blessings. Blessings like wine pouring off the mountains and hills. I'll make everything right for my people. They'll rebuild their own cities. They'll plant vineyards and drink good wine. They'll work with their gardens and eat fresh vegetables. I will plant them in the land. They'll never be uprooted from the land I've given them. And I'm going to end there. I know that there are some that may be here or watching on Facebook who just kind of feel stuck. You just don't know how to move so that you can get into that next door, to that next place. God doesn't want you to remain stuck. It's his desire that we never settle for less than what Jesus died for us to have on every level. You have the mind of Christ.